Welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the fastest growing and largest segment of society. To those of you who know that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they have become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed, I'm Yada. Our phone number, if you would like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 2 hours, is toll free 877-300-7645. Before we begin today, I want to thank Kirk and Scott for doing two of the six shows while I was gone. It was a smash hit. Kirk was wonderful, so was Scott. It was a great experience. And I want to thank my good friend Larry, who also did two shows with Scott. And Larry, as always, was wonderful. And I appreciate their commitment to the purpose of the Shattering Myths program. Thank all three of you guys. I am back. I took 6 days off from the show, 10 days in total, a little family vacation, where I hail from late last night. Is 4 o'clock in the morning, and got to sleep last night at about 1. So if I sound a bit comatose, I may well be. I would like to turn our attention to the news. Benjamin Netanyahu, in an interview the day before national elections, said that anyone willing to establish a Palestinian state, quote, is simply giving a base for attacks to the radical Islamists. He's right. Fact is, he's right. I know that everyone in the media wants to lambaste him for making such a statement, but it is inarguably true. The fact is that Hamas has a 75% approval rating amongst Muslims living in the West Bank and in Gaza. They are committed to Israel's destruction. They routinely turn a blind eye to agreements that they have signed, unless it is to impose absolute dictates on Israel while not complying with any of the agreements that they have initialed. They routinely turn to violence, kidnapping, murder, terror of all forms, rockets, tunnels for perpetrating all manner of harm. They have proven they cannot be trusted. They have proven that they are a death cult. They have proven that they only want independence so that there is no restriction on the weapons that they can import. They have proven that they will use those weapons, and they have started countless conflicts against Israel. He's right. Here's the story. CNN, the prospect of a Palestinian state is nil so long as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stays in office, Netanyahu said in a Monday interview. Asked by an interviewer with the Israeli news site NRG if it was true that a Palestinian nation would never be formed while he was prime minister, Netanyahu replied, indeed. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Now, I don't want to rally around any politician. I don't want to rally around any government. But occasionally a politician who is head of a government says and does the right thing. That was the right thing. It was the right thing to say. It is the right thing to do. Yahweh gave Yisrael to Israelites, to the children and descendants of Abraham, of Yitzhak and Jacob. It is God's gift to them. It is their homeland. This is not a Muslim homeland. The Muslims did not build it. They did not found it. They have never had any claim to this land. They still don't. They never will. As a matter of fact, there is no such thing as a Palestinian. These are simply Arab Muslims. To call a nation Palestine is to be a moron. It is to say, I am so stupid, it hurts. It is to say, I am completely ignorant of history. It is to say, I am immoral, I am irrational. And I can be played for a fool, even to use the term Palestinian. There is no such thing as a Palestinian. There has never been a Palestinian. There is no such thing as a Palestinian state. There has never been a Palestinian state. Now, there was a Philistine group of people, most likely related to the Phoenicians, but we don't know. But there were Philistines. They really didn't have a state, but they occupied five or six towns in an area that is akin to Gaza today. They were belligerent. They were aggressive. They were savage. And they fought a number of wars against Israel. They won some. They lost others. Ultimately, they were destroyed, not by the Jews, but by the Assyrians. Completely annihilated. There is no trace of them. When the Philistines, not the Palestinians, were a nation, or a group of towns anyway, a confederation of towns, they had no written language. They had no monetary system that we're aware of. They have no history. In fact, nothing is known of them apart from what is shared in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. They're unknown, these Philistines, apart from the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. And therefore, if they existed as Philistines, then the only testimony that can be trusted regarding them is found in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. And if you have to turn to the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms to find a Philistine, then you have to also rely on the rest of what it says. And what it says is it's not their country. There can never be a rebirth of a country that was destroyed, carved out of the land that God gave to Yisrael. It is that simple. They don't exist apart from the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. And in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, they were destroyed. No trace of them. So that is our reality. So he was right in saying, indeed. His interview with NRG came as he courted conservative supporters the day before Israelis head to polls for national elections. You know, it's amazing that in the extraordinarily liberal American press, Netanyahu is presented as far right wing. And yet, from an Israeli point of view, his issue is getting those who are conservative to support him. His biggest rivals are not on the left. His biggest rivals aren't centrists. He's the centrist. His biggest rivals are on the right. America's depiction of Israel is completely fallacious. This is a quote: anyone who is going to establish a Palestinian state, anyone who is going to evacuate territories today, is simply giving a base for attacks to the radical Islam against Israel. This is the true reality that was created here in the last few years. Other than one term, he is precisely accurate. It's not radical Islam that is against Israel. It's just Islam that is against Israel. There isn't a moderate and radical version of Islam. There's only one Islam. There aren't two Qurans, one for the moderate, one for the radical. There aren't two prophets, a Muhammad for the radical, a Muhammad for the moderate. There aren't two sets of Sharia law, a moderate form of Sharia and an extremist form of Sharia. There aren't conflicting hadith regarding Islam. The fact is that the one Islamic founder, Muhammad, His one wannabe God, Allah. His one recital, the Quran. And his one set of oral reports, the Hadith, which form Sunnah and Sharia. All depict Islam as a criminal enterprise, as a death cult, as repulsive, as immoral, as stupid, but extraordinarily destructive and deadly. And the history bears all of this out. So there is no radical Islam. There is only Islam, and Islam is against Israel. It always has been. It began that way. It can't be resolved. It's been that way for 1,400 years. For him to say, this is true, and this is reality, is accurate. To say that this reality was created here in the last few years is inaccurate. If we're going to tell the truth, we might as well tell the whole truth. The whole truth is that 1,400 years ago, Muhammad created a death cult, a criminal enterprise, especially designed to rob, to rape, to enslave, and to murder Jews. They were his primary target. He continued to rob, to rape, to enslave, and to murder Jews until there were no more Jews within camel ride of Medina or Mecca. And then he turned his attention on Christians because he had overhunted his original prey. Now, that sounds harsh, but it is inarguably true. There is no other interpretation of the evidence that's available to us. Every aspect of that is accurate. And therefore, you have 1,400 years of anti-Semitism and violent rage perpetrated by Muslims against Jews. It's not going to stop. There is no agreement. There is no concession that will quell it. Muhammad could not be appeased. Muslims today cannot be appeased. Anything you give them will simply satiate their lust to kill every Jew on the planet. And giving them their own state will facilitate that end. Benjamin Netanyahu was truthful. Not 100% accurate, but very close to it when he said, anyone who is going to establish a Palestinian state, anyone who is going to evacuate territories today, is simply giving a base for attacks to the radical Islam against Israel. This is the true reality that was created here in the last few years. The things that first should be explained, and Netanyahu has done a marvelous job in the past of explaining it, is the whole myth of a Palestinian state. And the fact that while there were at one time Philistines, they were wiped out by the Assyrians in today's Iran. They haven't existed for over 3,000 years. And the Muslims who are there today have absolutely no affinity to them. No one on earth is known to have an affinity. A genetic link, a national link to the Philistines. The Muslims have absolutely no claim. To pretend otherwise is to lie. And if you have to lie to make your case, you don't have a case. Second, evacuating territories. Why should they evacuate territories? Israel was given to the Israelites. And even if you don't want to take any credence in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, well, if you don't, the first thing you have to do is give up the notion of a Palestinian. So, if you're going to discard the Torah, prophets, and Psalms as divine writ, then you have to completely ignore. You have to completely disavow the term Palestinian and Palestine. Because the basis of it, from the Latin Philistia, was used by Hadrian for the express purpose of renaming the province of Yehuda to the enemy of Yahudah during the time that the Philistines existed. He just simply pulled the name out of the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms to insult Yahudah, Judah. That's the reality of it. It has no basis in history. It has no basis in fact. And so, if you accept the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, then you must acknowledge the fact that Israel belongs to the descendants of Abraham, of Yitzhak, and Jacob, and therefore to the Yisraelites, and not to the Muslims. If you accept the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, then you must acknowledge that the Philistines no longer exist. If you disavow it, then you don't have a Palestinian or Philistine. That's just the bottom line. If you're going to be reasonable, if you're going to be rational, if you're going to be informed, that's the reality of it. There has never been a Palestinian nor a Palestinian state, ever, and never will be, so long as truth prevails. That's first. Second, anyone who is going to evacuate territories, the territory is Israel. They were given their homeland back after World War II and the Holocaust. They were given their territory back as their birthright by the United Nations. And history has shown that every archaeological dig has shown that Israel is the homeland of the Jews, without exception. Now, if you were to say, well, they weren't given the West Bank, well, you know, the mythical Palestinian people were not given the West Bank when it was part of Jordan. These mythical people who claim to be Palestinians today were not given Gaza when it was part of Egypt, as both were in 1948 and through 1967. But you know, Egypt and Jordan and the rest of the Muslim world did not accept the terms of UN 242, did not accept the fact that Israel was given a homeland. Oh, they accepted every other treaty establishing their homelands, but no, they would not accept Israel. So they attacked it. Now, the moment that you reject the terms and conditions of an agreement, it no longer applies. You can't impose the terms on someone else when you have rejected the agreement, as the Muslims are trying to do now, claiming that the Jews must go back to the 1967 UN 242 lines. Well, if that's the case, then you shouldn't have declared war against them in 1948. You shouldn't have rejected the agreement then. You shouldn't have declared war against them in 1967 when you lost those territories because you tried to destroy them. You have no basis in fact, in history, truth, or morality. Go away. Netanyahu went on to say that any opponent on the left who might argue otherwise is sticking their head in the sand time and time again. And it's true. But that's the nature of liberalism. Liberalism is reinventism. A liberal is willing to recast history in order to shape the world as they see it. Their patron saint would be Machiavelli, where the ends justify the means, which means you can use all forms of lies and distortions to create whatever myth you think is most likely going to enable the end result. And if the end result is to compel Israel to give up Gaza and the West Bank and to form a state for terrorists who will be committed to its destruction, then promoting lies, ignoring the truth, ignoring the true nature of Islam, ignoring Islam's history, ignoring the Muslims' activities, ignoring the behavior of Hamas and the PLO, is the way they will go about it. They will get other liberals to lie on their behalf. So it's worse than just putting their head in the sand and ignoring reality. No, the liberal would change reality. He further said that a strong government led by his Likud party is necessary to beat back international pressure to divide Jerusalem and to return Israel to its pre-1967 borders. He's right. International pressure wants Israel to do that. But why should Israel do that? It's, you know, in business, one of the things you learn, and this is true in any contract law, is that we are not ever in a position where we can say, you know, like I had a home that has been for sale. It's recently moved into to escrow. And when, very nice couple that is offered to buy it. I was not in a position to say, I accept your offer, except I want to change this, that, and the other term. I'm either accepting the offer as they made it, or I'm countering the offer. And if I counter the offer, I cannot impose any of the conditions that were in the offer on the prospective buyers. But that's what the Muslims did with the 1967 UN 242 declaration. They rejected it. And by rejecting its codicils, they have no right to impose any of its codicils. You know, if I accept the offer from the buyer, I have the right to expect that the buyer will honor their commitment. But if I renegotiate, unless the buyer agrees to the renegotiated terms, then I have no rights whatsoever related to that buyer or their contract. And it's amazing to me that no one bothers to bring this up. You know, you can't impose unilaterally the terms and conditions of UN 242 on Israel when the opposing party, Muslims, rejected it. And then, to make matters worse, the Muslims declared war on Israel not once, not twice, but three times. They lost all three times, even though they outnumbered the Jews 100-1. And in losing, they lost that territory. Sorry. But you lost. You ought not. You know, if you don't want the bully to steal your candy, you ought not punch him in the nose. You know, Israel's not a bully, and Israel didn't steal anything. But the fact is that if you're living in a home and you want to stay in your home, then you ought not declare war on your neighbors. Unless you're in a position where you can defeat all of your neighbors. Because if you can't, if you want to stay in your home and you don't want your neighbors to buy any of the adjacent homes, and you declare war on them, and you start killing them and attacking them and trying to steal those homes, and they prevail against you, you're going to lose your home. That's why we should not be going down this road. The world is wrong. Netanyahu is right. He says, I will not give in. We stood fast against huge pressure, and we will continue to do so. Following Netanyahu's interview, chief Palestinian negotiator, as if there were such a thing, they don't negotiate, and there is no Palestinian, Saeb Erekat, who is also a member of the executive committee of the PLO, said that Israel's prime minister's stance is nothing new. Good. I hope that he has been resolute in this regard. Netanyahu has done everything possible to bury the two-state solution. Two-state and solution ought never be, ever, be uttered collectively. Two-state is not a solution. Two-state is an absolute guarantee that there will be one state, and the one state will be Muslim. Israel will not survive giving the Muslims, these terrorists, the PLO. And the PLO, by the way, now is the moderate, the more moderate of the two factions. Hamas is actually more aggressive, more belligerent, more deadly, more destructive than the PLO, which was for decades the most ruthless, despotic terrorist organization in the world. So two states is about as big a solution as was giving Neville Chamberlain, giving Adolf Hitler Czechoslovakia. And say, you know, rather than one state of Czechoslovakia, we're going to make two states. One will be part of Germany. The other, well, you can have it because we don't want that part. And it was based on the same criterion here. There were ethnicity differences. There were language differences between the two groups and Czechoslovakia. And so Adolf Hitler wanted it. And when Neville Chamberlain gave it to him, the next result was World War II. In this case, we have a language difference. We have an ethnicity difference. And the Muslims are doing everything, including war, to take what is not theirs. And the world wants to side with them. And when the world capitulates, there will be World War III. This quote goes on. It says, Netanyahu's statement at the illegal statement, at the illegal settlement, and it's not an illegal settlement, they built homes of Har Homa, that's the place of homes, is a response to all of those governments who tried to block Palestinian diplomatic initiatives. He couldn't have done that without counting on full immunity from the international community. That's not true. The international community despises Israel. It's anti-Semitic. Now the world must learn its lesson and understand that impunity won't bring peace, only justice will. Well, if there is justice, then there is no such thing as a Palestinian. Then there is no such thing as a Palestinian state. If we're going to be just, then we're going to deal with the terrorism perpetrated by the PLO and Hamas and to preclude them from having weapons, preclude them from governing a state. If there is to be justice, then the Muslims will go away. They will not be armed. They will not be enriched by Western governments. They will not be given a voice in the media. They'll be quarantined. That would be justice. That would be the just reward for their terrorist behavior. That is justice. Islam, by the way, has never known justice. There is no justice in Islam. Never has been, never will be. There is no peace in Islam. Never has been, never will be. Opposition leaders, the first two that are mentioned here, Isaac Herzog and Tipsy Levin, Livni, I should say, of the Zionist Party, are ready to surrender to every dictate, Livni said, as he denounced previous calls for further construction in Jerusalem's Jewish neighborhoods. Well, Herzog would strive to establish a Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem. He said, I won't let that happen, my friends. I and the Likud party will keep Jerusalem united in all of its parts. We will keep fortifying it so that dividing it will not be possible, and it will always remain united. We will keep developing our eternal capital.
Yeah, he's right.
Building homes is a good thing. Yahweh is a home builder. The entire purpose for humanity, the entire purpose for the earth, the entire purpose for his Torah, for the creation of the universe, is to build his home, his family. Yahweh is all about family. It is the covenant. It is a family relationship. The Israelites are his family, his chosen people, his Am, to use the Hebrew term. And therefore, it is Jerusalem is the eternal capital. In fact, even Yahweh says so. It isn't, by the way, Jerusalem. It is Yerushalem. Jerusalem is the source from which teaching, guidance, and direction regarding reconciliation flow. It is based on yara, the verb, to be a source of teaching, direction, and guidance. That's the same verb that forms the basis of the Hebrew noun Torah. And shalom, which means to reconcile a relationship. That's the place where teaching regarding reconciliation flow. Islam isn't about reconciliations. It's about complete damnation. It's about the utter and complete destruction of the covenant, of Yahweh's name, of the Torah, of all things God. A vote for Herzog and Livni is a vote for the establishment of Hamasdan, Netanyahu said, referring to Hamas, the Islamic group which dominates Gaza. And he is right in that regard, too. Because if you were to create a mythical state called Palestine that was formed out of the PLO and Hamas, the fact is that Hamas is vastly more popular. The last time and the only time there was a popular election, Hamas won 70% of the vote. They would again today. It would be Hamas-istan. Is the world ready for that? Evidently so. But Netanyahu is not. Hallelujah. It was an interesting report out of Europe. It occurred this morning. Reuters is reporting that Germany, France, and Italy said today that they had agreed to join a new China-led Asian investment bank after Britain defied U.S. pressure to become a founding member of a venture seen as a rival to the World Bank. I want to tell you that as the threshold goes on things that are important, on a 1 to 10 scale of important, this is a 9, folks. For some time, I've said that the only thing that keeps the illusion that America is solvent afloat is the fact that America has a reserve currency, which means that other countries use dollars to buy and sell goods internationally. That it's the world's reserve currency. And that the fact that it's a reserve currency requires nations to hold dollars. It requires nations to have banks and banking licenses in the United States, which then gives the United States clout over them. But if you're not a reserve currency, and if people don't, if other countries don't have to hold dollars to engage in international trade, then there's no way to create the illusion that America is solvent. America's deficit is about 110 to 115% of gross domestic product. It's in the among the worst in percentage to gross domestic product in the world, probably in the bottom 4 or 5 worst countries. In terms of aggregate currency, it is 10 times the next worst. And America got to the point where it was no longer able to borrow money internationally. China says, no, we don't want any part of it anymore. Japan said, no, we're not going to do it anymore. Even the Saudi Arabians said, don't want any more dollars. We're not going to fund your deficit. And so the Federal Reserve came up with this illusion called quantitative easing, where the Federal Reserve created the illusion of money to create the illusion that the Treasury bills being offered by the federal government were being purchased. But they're not. It's simply the currency is being devalued for the express purpose of creating the illusion that the country is still solvent. It can't fund its debts. That's where America is. Now, if you remove the reserve currency status from America, then there is no longer any hope that the illusion can be promoted. And because America has become so manipulative, so belligerent, so untrustworthy internationally, our NSA scandal, our overall stupidity as it relates to invasions of countries and our blackmail of other countries, this stupidity that America is engaged in the Ukraine, for example, or engaged in with the Islamic State, or engaged in Iraq and Afghanistan. America has become so untrustworthy that no one wants to rely on its currency. And so we have pushed both the Russians and Chinese into the position where they have been required for their own survival to create their own banking system wholly independent of America. And America has been able to cling on to the myth of solvency by twisting the arms of Great Britain, France, Germany, and other European countries of not going along with the other alternatives to America's reserve currency status. Well, that's now gone. We badgered and beleaguered the Chinese, particularly the Obama administration, from our single biggest supplier to this notion that they were somehow our enemy. And we continued to badger them to the point that the Chinese said, okay, well, if you're going to restrict everything we do, if you're going to turn your war machine so that it is facing our direction, if you're going to accuse us of spying on you when you are in fact spying on us, try this. We'll create our own international banking system. And guess what? We find that Germany, France, Italy, and Great Britain have all gone along and said, see you later, America. Hasta luego. It's been nice knowing you. Farewell. Ed Vieter saying goodbye.